right. Good singing all the way around. By the way, Tanner, you were right. You were right. The Eagles lost. He's going out the door on Sunday night. There, somebody was talking about that, and I said, somebody asked me about the Eagles or this. He said the Eagles ain't got a chance. And he began to name some of the Kansas City players and how fast they were and what they could do and how they done it. And let me tell you right now, I thought for a while he didn't know what he's talking about. But they pulled a rabbit out of the hat at the last, won by 3 points. Now the other side's crying. I thought Jesse Waters was on prime time. I thought he's going to break down and cry. Been cheated out of it. He said, you know, called hold and he wasn't holding it, which, you know, they probably got a legitimate gripe. But whatever it is, it is. It's already over with. It got them closer to that goal post where that field goal kicker could win by 3 points. And so I thought to myself, hey, I'm not ever going to doubt you again when it comes to a team. I can't remember. Yes. He doesn't have to. He may not have ever watched one, but I can tell you what, he knows the players, how fast they are, how much they run, how which one of them's a tight end, which one of them's a passer and throwing down. He said, they just, let me tell you, they're no match for that. So wherever he got it, wherever that he got it, y'all may be holding him back. You need to let him watch a little every now and again. Because with the information he's already got, son, he's just doing pretty well all the way around. Anyhow, you're right. My regret is now that if I'd have been a gambler, I'd have wanted you to tell me who's winning this. All right, but I'm not a gambler, and so anyhow, but anyway, that's a good deal there. I didn't argue with him either. I didn't argue because I didn't know none of them anyway. None of them was my favorite people there. My favorite team hadn't done nothing since they got that Dak man, black man called Dak, you know. Huh? All right, I am saying. I don't want to bring tears to your eyes. You know. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Genesis tonight. Is it on? You're kidding me. Boy, I mean, today we're on the ball, ain't we? Was you able to turn it on for me or no? I guess I done it just, you know, accidentally. In the book of Genesis, if you'll find the place, Genesis chapter number 1, if you're able to stand, one passage we'll look at, verse 1. Boys and girls, men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, here it is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We do thank you for it, and we thank you thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. We thank you, Lord, that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. I pray your blessings now upon this service tonight. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over these folks. Bless every request that's been mentioned. Save the lost. Lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on a subject and where it all began. And let me tell you right now, Genesis is where it began, friend. In the day we're looking at, when you begin to look into that, you'll find that this is the book of the beginnings. It's the seed plot of the Bible. Everything begins here in the book of Genesis. In this lesson you're looking at, let me tell you, is that there are those that talk about the heavens and all of that being in existence. There was no heaven until God created it. There was no earth until God created it. In the beginning, God, there's where it's at. You can stop right there and make no mistake about it, is that it knocks evolution in the head and all the other isms and schisms. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Let me tell you something. When you begin to notice something about that, is that you'll find that over in the book of Psalms, you ain't got to turn there, chapter 119, verse 160, he said, thy word is from the beginning. And let me tell you, the word of the Lord has always been, is tonight, will be tomorrow. The word of the Lord will always stand on its own. I thank God for the fact that you and I have an old King James Bible that we can believe that's inerrant, that's the inerrant word of the Lord, and that you and I can trust it, see what it says, and believe it. Now, if somebody comes up and wants to argue with it, their argument's not with you, their argument's with the word of the Lord. Let me tell you right now, it's very simplified. Don't waste 5 minutes talking to anybody. I was talking to somebody one time, and they wanted to argue about, and of course they favored evolution. I said, I never even think that evolution could possibly exist till I look at you and some of your family. You know, but here's a very simplified thing. If men evolved, all right, if men evolved from a monkey or whatever, why don't we find some of that going on now? Why when you walk down there to the beach, if somebody was a sea creature, and this, why don't you find somebody part human, part sea creature, part ape, part man, or so forth? And oh, why don't you find that? And they said, well, you know, it was outbred. How do you outbreed something that you had nothing to do with to begin with? It's here's very simplified. Don't argue with somebody that's got some crazy notion. In the beginning, God, that's it, cut and dry. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that not only is this the book of beginnings, but let me tell you something right now. This is where that we find the record of families that are going to be born into the world. Did you realize that all that God in his creation is that part of that involved the human race? You and I are sitting here tonight, and I guess we're most of us human, as far as we know. And let me say to you that, if you will, that in the beginning, God not only created heaven and earth, but he created the human race. I know he began with Adam. I realize and know that it was Adam, then Eve, so forth and on, and then they had children. But let me say to you that in the beginning, when God did all he's doing, isn't it something how that even before the foundation of the world, even before Genesis 1, he knew about Jesus Christ, about him being born of a virgin, about him, it's been foreordained of God that the only way of salvation is in his only begotten Son, and his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the lesson we're looking at, let me say to you, there's the creation of the human race. Then not only that, there's the record of the fall of the human race. And not only that, then there's the record of the flood that he used to get rid of the human race. And then not only that, you'll find out is that he talks about not only different races that'll be coming along, but he talks about the language barrier that we put up with. And because of the Tower of Babel, they were going to try to build and be gods themselves. Now, in this lesson, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, that if you're a Christian tonight, it's because that God moved upon you. And when God moved upon you, he brought life to you. And he disturbed you, and he showed you yourself like he sees you. And he gave you repentance and faith toward God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever calls on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, not only did he invent the human race, which involves, name anybody that's ever been born of woman. And let me tell you right now, that's part of the human race. But that ain't all of it. You'll find that he brought into the world the Hebrew race. Now, when you begin to look into it, you'll find out Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Do you realize to know that about one-fourth of the book of Genesis is taken up with Joseph and taken up with what he's done? And I can tell you right now is that no doubt that in typology that he reminded us and gave a lot of illustrations about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you, the Hebrew race, we have much to be thankful for. You know, while everybody else in the world's cussing the Jews, they are the apple of God's eye. And make no mistake about it, you'll find out that he's the one that brought them into existence. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 1, we're not going to take time to read a lot of it, but let me tell you something. Out of 31, out of these verses that are here in the book of Genesis, and all the way, let's see here, there's what? 31, 32 verses that's here, 31 verses. Do you know in the first 31 verses, God's mentioned 32 times? I mean, it tells you more than a hint right off the start. We ought to get our eyes and our ears tuned in to him. In the chapter, out of 31 verses, God is mentioned 32 times. I just was watching while we were looking there, and we were seeing that. You know the reason being, don't you? Because everything starts with God. Let me tell you, when God started it, that's whenever your life, my life. Listen, God whenever came knocking on your heart's door and gave you repentance and faith, and you've got everlasting life, it started with God. Let me tell you, it'll not only start with God, it ends up with God. Everything in the world ends up with Him. The Bible said that when you begin to look into it, and we're not going to take time, we're not going to take all the time to be able to read all of that, but you'll notice in the next few chapters as you're reading through and as you're looking is that God's creation occurs 10 times the phrase after its kind. God said, and they reproduce after their kind. See? Now, the reason why the world's in the mess it's in, because they just don't believe what God said. And let me say to you that, if you will, that this record in the book of Genesis, it records a little later on, a couple of chapters over there, it records the fall of man. The record's given, you'll find out that Eve was deceived by the serpent. Adam disobeyed the Lord, but make no mistake about it, is that God never intended anything but a man and a woman, a male and a female. Fact is, that's the teaching of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the world mocks and they make fun of you and I and all this, but let me tell you something, is that the Lord said that He made them male and female, and you can just believe what God had to say. In the book of Romans, and you don't have to turn there, but in chapter number 5, the book of Romans is built upon the basis of Genesis chapter number 3, Romans chapter 5. In fact, as you'll find, by one man, everything was lost through Adam, and God, through His Son Jesus Christ, bought back more than Adam lost in the garden. Make no mistake about that. So we find about the creationism, we find the fall of man. There's a fatality in the book of Genesis, and let me tell you, it's always been this, it'll always be it. It's over religion. There's a man, he's got a brother, his name is Cain, his brother's by the name of Abel. And let me say to you that, if you will, that Cain had his own ideology of religion, and that's the reason he brought of the fruits of the ground, and my, what a beautiful sight that it must have been. And yet God didn't look at it, and God didn't favor it. Abel brought the blood sacrifice of the Lamb of God. He was taught redemption by the blood, no doubt by his parents. And let me say to you that God answered from heaven, no doubt with a fire, and He approved of Abel's offering that was by the blood, but He didn't approve of Cain's offering, and there wasn't no fire fell, but it made old Cain angry. I got to say to you that that's the reason why, when they were talking about it over there in the field one day, that he rose up in anger, so angry that he hated his brother Abel, whose sacrifice had been accepted, and he slew him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God warns all about that, even over in the book of 1 John chapter number 3 and about verse number 12. And whenever you and I, we're not to have evil works like Cain had, but we're to have righteous works like his brother Abel did. And not only that, you're going to have to pay some price for it. In the beginning, God. This is where it all began. Now, next of all, there's a record of a flood. Now, if you look in Genesis chapter 4, you'll find there's the descendants of Cain. If you look in Genesis chapter 5, there's the descendants of Seth, the one that was born in the place of Abel. By the time you get to Genesis in chapter number 6, there's a separation between the people of God and the world that now has all of a sudden disappeared. And you know what it is, don't you? It's the salt of the earth is no longer there to keep it from going just completely corrupt. And as a result of that, God goes ahead and announces that He's going to put an end to all the earth and all that's therein. And He raised up a man by the name of Noah to build that great ark. Remember that? I want to say to you that in the day we live in, I think that somehow or another that we've lost it in America to where that now we're just religious talking, for the most part, and heathen walking. See, and they're just blind as a bat. Now, you know, there wouldn't be one of them that ever listened to me. They're not one of them going to ever listen to me. But I can tell you this, those that they would listen to are not going to say anything to disrupt that. They're not. There's a few people that could have their ear, but they're not going to ever say nothing like that. I mean, years ago, whenever James Robinson, and old James was a good salty preacher, and then he went to selling vitamin pills instead of preaching. Then there was Billy Graham, and Billy Graham had America's ear at one time, but he always stopped shy of these controversial subjects. Now there's a preacher up there in Dallas. I can remember whenever James Dobson, he used to have on Focus of the Family, and yet you'll find he was pretty good. Now the other day I seen a little excerpt of one where he had that old long bearded hippie looking nasty Duck Dynasty, Daffy Duck Doctrine guy, and they were endorsing him. I just said all that to be able to say this: God has not changed his mind. He's not. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that you'll find that apostasy is now so rampant that it's reached heaven and the judgment of God over in Genesis 6 and about the flood that's going to take place. I'm glad God let Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Or last but not least, I want to talk about the family that's in the book of Genesis, and you'll have to read the whole book yourself. But you'll find is that the world was repopulated by Noah. Noah's son, Shem, that's where the Jews came from. Ham, that's where the dark skin, the Canaanite people came from. Japheth, that's where other nations and the Gentiles came from. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, is that you'll find that the one world church movement that'll never accomplish it. The world that's trying to stamp out racism, they're never going to get that accomplished. You know why, don't you? Because they'd have to be able to defy all that God is and all that God has done and all that God has said. You're never going to get rid of that, and you're not going to because of the fact that it'd be defiant of the word of the Lord. Let me tell you, the one world society could be seen over in the book of Genesis about chapter 11 when they were trying to build a tower into heaven. They was going to be able to defy God and be gods themselves. And that's when God judged them and changed the language where they couldn't understand what each other was saying. I will say to you that, if you will, that in the book of Genesis, finally, there's the birth of Abraham, saved out of idolatry. There's the birth of Isaac. What an unusual birth. Abraham's already too old. His wife, Sarah, was already too old. And let me tell you right now, is God brought about an unusual birth. And let me say to you that, if you will, he was obedient even unto death, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's Jacob. And boy, let me tell you something. Old Jacob, here's a man that was a heel and an underminer. And yet you'll find that after that the angel of the Lord wrestled him down, he became a prince with God. His sons are found in the 12 tribes of Israel. They were mentioned, and there, here's the way they are. It's Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher and Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. Those are the 12 tribes of Israel. And make no mistake about it, that what a mighty host of people to represent the Lord in days gone by. Then last but not least, there's Joseph out of that tribe. And let me tell you, you remember how Joseph was sold into slavery? You remember how he was falsely accused and imprisoned? You remember how he was promoted to the highest office in the land of Egypt under Pharaoh? You remember how he preserved life for all the rest of the world? And last but not least, about old Joseph, do you remember till finally his brother, all of his brethren, acknowledged their sin and they're willing to bow down unto him? Now let me tell you how this thing's working. Tonight, the people that are after God's own heart, the apple of God's eye, is the nation of Israel. She's blinded in part. She's not recognized him for who that he is. But let me tell you, the closer the coming of the Lord, the more tender he'll make that nation. And when all of those brethren are willing to bow down before him, he'll come again, and a nation will be born in a day. I'm glad that I'm his, and I'm glad that he's mine. And he lives on the inside of me, and if you're a child of God, he lives on the inside of you. You know, when you look at that, God lives in the dirtiest place that you can mention. The heart of man's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? God lives in the most deceitful place you'd ever imagine, and that's in our heart. I'm glad he does. I'm glad God's grace has been sufficient. for me, and I hope you can say that as well. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Now, Father, we want to thank you for lesson. We pray you'd hide it in our hearts that we not sin against thee, and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. Thank you, Lord, for loving us while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Check